There was a revelation last night. You see, we were here quite a long time. You see, that man, all this tested since last 1 week. Yeah. So, what had happened, you see, all of a sudden, something happened. You know? What happened was, means why? That it's Lord's pleasure, it's Lord's will to worship those who are close to Him. Nobody is going to question Him. Whether they are worthy or unworthy, it's Lord's lookout. There's nothing, nobody should question Him. But because everything for Him has some meaning, for unfathomable are His ways, there's no doubt about it. But then there was one little incident that took place last night that gives me a great thought over all these matters. Not this particular issue, but there are many, many issues that are covered up by this little thing that happened, an accident that took place last night. You know what happened?
No.
You see, there was some sort of coordination between a big screen that is there, the TV screen there. I don't know what, I can't describe the mechanics and all this sort of thing. And he was coordinating sound there, the film and all that sort of thing. Many things were there, you see, the whole paraphernalia was spread out last night. And there were fluctuations of voltage there. And power was running short, and time was running short. I was tired, and he was tired, and he had a headache, and all this. And all this work, Baba's work to be done, you see, and all this. Well, then there was relief, everything was nice, the power was there, everything was perfect. Again, we got back into our room, and we continued with our work. All of a sudden, he's very peeved with this clock. He doesn't like the clock to chime because it disturbs the whole thing there. So all the time while the gadgets were working, his eye was right at the time, you see, on the clock there. But no sooner it's time for it to chime, he should shut off the whole thing. And he had told me that he would do that. So what happened was that he changed some tape or something like that in his tape recorder. You recall all that?
Yeah. Mm.
And naturally I was looking at the film and giving my commentary there in a hoarse voice, you see, and I'm looking there, yes, no, sir. And it went on. And he was, and we were in mood now to go and go further. Just then he realized that the clock is about to chime. So he tried to shut the tape recorder there, you see, and put off the whole thing. He realized that he had not put on the tape recorder. But luckily he had changed the, what do you call, the tape, the, what do you call, the cassette, just say five minutes before that.
Close to you.
So he had not changed. So he, of course, was very apologetic about it. He said, hey, we'll have to go back to the whole thing again. I said, never mind. But all of a sudden, there was something that struck me. I said, this nauseating thing, you see, that troubles him all the time, every half an hour and 1 hour and all that, that is also so essential to bring home to us some good result. We would have continued this for an hour, you see, had this nuisance not been there. Likewise, every nuisance in our life is draw attention for us to be right on the path, you see. God doesn't want you to just create an atmosphere of gaiety around you, or just all the time laugh and giggle and all that, or expose your brown or white or clean teeth. Baba didn't expose that, you see, through this message. All what Baba wanted was that you all should feel happy. Yes. You all shouldn't worry, because all this is nothing but a dream. Yes. Why should you worry about the dream? Suppose if you were to be attacked in your dream by a tiger, and in the dream you feel so horrified, you're mauled, right? You feel it that way, and you're scared and terrified, and you even are out of breath, you see, because you're so scared. But then, if in the dream somebody comes and tells you, like Baba, and don't be afraid. It's just a dream. You won't believe it. You are terrified. Don't you? Cannot imagine such an experience?
Yes.
But then when you wake up from the dream, it was so. Then you realize, yes. Raghav had come in the dream and said that the mauling of the tiger is just a dream. Don't get frightened. Keep happy. Don't worry. Don't worry, Baba says. That's what he meant by it, that all this is a passing show. Mm-hmm. You have to face it, no doubt. But keep at the back of your mind that it's a passing show. No more than that. It's just a smoke screen. It passes. It does, what you call, burn your eyes and make your eyes tear, what you call, wet with irritation and all that. It chokes you sometimes, the smoke. It will pass. So don't worry. And be happy, he says. There are two things, he says. Don't worry and be happy. And be happy means, the other day, what did you say? I forget now. What were you saying? What Baba said that? I said, no, Baba has never said that.
Make yourself happy.
Ah, he said that Baba said, make yourself happy. How can one make oneself happy? Be happy, Baba says. So I said, Joel, Baba, I haven't heard Baba saying that make yourself happy. On the contrary, I heard make others happy. That's what Baba said. Make others, how to love God in that? There is something that I haven't read that whole message, but there is something like that. Make others happy. If you want to love God, if you want to know how to love God, make others happy. That's what Baba said. So if you can make others happy, have you ever come across even one incident in your life where you have made somebody else happy? And what happiness you derive out of that? You don't know that through your personal experience? So it's no need to dilate upon it. It is so fact. So obvious a thing is, when you make anybody happy, even in the slightest degree, that feeling of great warmth is greater than happiness. And if you continue to have thoughts of not harming anybody, helping anybody, being honest, being natural, you are continuously happy. That warmth inside is continuously there. If you don't pose yourself that which you are not, if you don't try to remain as an imposter, so to say. Or otherwise, the negative feelings are always there and they put a damper upon that feeling of warmth within you. So when you just throw these things out and be natural, most natural, you'll always have that warmth which is more than happiness. That is what Baba means by be happy. Don't worry, be happy. That's how you should be.
And of course, I think I wasn't, I just had lost consciousness or whatever it was. And suddenly a voice said to me, Baba sent you this. And I opened my eyes and there was he. but Baba gave you.
Baba had given me the order, the embrace.
Yes.
With the embrace. But the very first thing I should do when I meet Ella, give her this embrace and tell her this is coming from Baba. This embrace. And that's what I did to her.
I said, but I was a little disappointed when I opened my eyes.
Next time I'm going to stay in
After
India.
After so many years of married life like this.
Somebody gets better.
You say you missed your chance. You could have come. You could have come to India, was that?
Yeah, that's another story. I didn't go.
You did not.
When you have 1 second to go to Baba,
yeah. You are a
swimmer, flyer,
the end. That you hear is your ever friend.
That's
the only right thing you did.
But Eric is old fashioned. After 700 years, there will not be schools, no A, B, C, D. They'll be quite different. Oh, I will be.
All what you have to do is to wear a computer all over your head.
No,
there will be one antenna. You don't need any.
I have
friends.
Wiggle waggle like that. TV thing.
Yeah.
You have to get an angle and then this way.
Yeah, you what's going to happen?
What?
In 650 years, we're going to be hanging up the trees on our chairs like looking for bananas.
what
no
you know
friend. That's right. No friend. There's no going back. Always forward, forward, forward. You see, there.
No.
Spiritual car has no reverse.
No reverse. No reverse gear.
The car now. No reverse gear.
Well,
we'll be very intelligent monkeys.
What about being
You're going to take a picture?
What is it?
Where is it?
No, I have a little dish with you.
But Tom, it's all your fault. Well, that was because Baba had appeared to her and told her not to come.
Oh.
That was the impression she received.
And then he sent a cable that while Fred is with me, I am there.
Oh, she had a dream, you mean, that she shouldn't come.
Yeah. Oh, she went through agony for that. She went through agony just because on that account of that. If I told you what agony she went through at that time for not coming on the very last day, on a Saturday, was Harry Kemmler calls her from the airport, but she didn't know he was at the airport. And he asked her, aren't you going to India? She said, no, I can't go. She had already turned in the ticket. The banks were closed.
What's
up with her? So she could not come. And then in the middle of the night, around 2 o'clock in the morning, she felt like as if her hand is piercing her chest. And she screamed out, and she got out of bed, and she screamed out and ran up the apartment up and down the floor. She didn't know what to do with herself. And she cried out to Baba. She cried out to Baba. And that was the time when Baba was telling us exactly these words, why didn't you wait? And he kept them talking about Baba all the time. He was talking about doing that meeting all the time about Baba. Now, it's been said that if the master sees one of his lovers in distress, he will keep on talking about the lover in order to keep him away from the ultimate self-destruction or anything like that, on which he was. She was ready to commit suicide.
Oh,
the pain was so great. But yet, she would not like me to relate the story to you people because she is very bashful on that point. So please don't mention it to her. But that's the story about her. That's why she suffered. But then when I came through the gate and she thought I was Baba, she saw then Baba's image. She saw a vision of Baba, and that was all that her heart flowed out to him.
Did she get healed in after that? He was all right after that.
No, he didn't. She didn't see him in 1961, in 62. Then in 62 we came there. We came then twice with a group flight and then a few days after again.
Yeah. But that double visit of yours played havoc with us.
Yes.
What?
Do you know the story about that? In 69, apart from your two visits then, in the year 69 you paid a second visit.
Yes.
Immediately after you left.
That's right.
How many days after you left?
Four days.
Four days after he left, they came back.
We had to handle the group flight.
Yeah.
The monies. Then Tom, Dick, and Harry, his wife was in the hospital, this one was in the police station, the other one had no money, but this one has no quarters. What are we going to do with him? So the burden was on us. We had to take care of these people, you see? And so we had very, very little
time
with the two or with you people to be close to you, because everybody else was blocking.
Yeah.
That was the beginning where we old timers were on the outer fringes and the young people they were there around Baba. That was the time, you see. So we returned to the States, and the fourth day, yes, at breakfast, we were eating our breakfast, and all of a sudden her spoon stopped mid-air, and I said, Mush, what are you thinking of, India? She said, yes. I said, let's go. But that, we went. But of course, Air India, she has got the full prize. I didn't get the charter flight prize. Mm. We never mind what we spent, but anyhow, it was a
big,
but it was well worth it.
Yes,
because when
we
came here, let me tell you one thing. We thought it was going to be a hush hush affair, nobody will know about it. I don't know how it came out, but then we were greeted in Pune Airport by Meherji and Don Stephen. Meherji was taking Don Stephen to the plane. There's no doubt about it in my mind. So Meherji takes us to his home. And then the next day, he drove us right up to the hill, the car and everything, us and everything. And we came up there. The night watchman, he rolled up his bedroll and disappeared. Mansari, she saw us, she ducked into her room because somebody had given her instruction to the window that she wanted to be alone. Is that so? Confess. So we were all alone with her. It was heaven. It was heaven to be with Baba all by yourself, all quiet, no ceremony, nobody bowing down, nobody kowtowing, or nobody praying, nobody singing, nobody picking the guitar or anything like that. Baba was all ours. Baba was all ours, and it was the most heavenly time we spent.
But what a hell of a time we had because of your second visit, you know that?
No, what did I do?
After you queries after queries, cables and letters and telephonic communication. Why? Says, did you really give the book to Fred Ella? Where will they take it? Will they keep it safe?
Gave that book.
What did you do?
They thought, the world thought that you had come to take the book away.
No, they especially gone and come back.
Yes. Bring the book.
How else would you come back?
Why do you take the blame upon yourself? Let it be there.
Now we know. Why did Fredella have to rush back again? They were taking the book with them. Telegrams. Can we have the first rights?
Not guilty.
The copyright to us. Publishing not rights.
Guilty. Not guilty. The story was told last night, when you said about the seekers seeking the book, but the law was loving Baba.
Yeah.
That's the whole story. Yeah. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. That was beautiful. You told us that story. And that was the most important thing, because if the seeker is in doubt about Baba, he wants to find the book in order to read what Baba has to say about himself. But the lover doesn't need no book and no intellectual conviction. He feels that he knows Baba speaking out of his own heart.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what you said.
Did I say that?
You said that the day before. When I reminded you, you made me repeat it.
But I have heard one other thing also. When you visit the Lord, don't get yourself lost in the house of Lord.
Like you may work in
house of Lord.
Yeah. What happens, you see, when we come to Baba, you see, we come to Baba. But what happens with us, you see, we get ourselves lost in the mansion of Baba. By just being with those who have been with him, and then where did Baba sit? And where is his chair? And what has happened there? And you have had no time with Baba at all. You get yourself, you lose yourself in the mansion.
That's right. That's true.
So that's what he was saying, you see, when Mansari rolled her bedding and the carpets were rolled and guitars were thrown out and everything was.
Well, where's the book?
Yeah, that's
right. Where's the book? The book that you handed over to us, right?
The book
which donned the human form for ourselves, deposited himself, he got himself coupled, choked to death, is infinite. And when we call that he dropped the body, actually he started living again his own life. So that's the difference between the man God and God man.
Dropping the body. My brother wrote a picture about him. I love him.
And what about the two kids? The younger brother?
They both completely believe in God.
Your mom? How about your mother?
That's the reason why I had to go through all this swapping the earth, you see, what you call the floor and sweeping the earth.
That's the ticket.
You were king in your last life?
Yes, I was king in my last life. That's what he said.
What else did he say?
Or you talk?
It will be a mortal word.
How did you come to bother Aaron?
So I stayed.
Well, it's an answer to it's an answer to Arthur's question. This session is meant only for Arty to hear.
Is that? Do you mind if we're here, Arthur?
All those who wish may gladly listen upon these words.
My God. Just a minute, hold on. You know, sir, it's a story I have repeated, I think, no less than scores of times, you see.
Promise is a promise.
But promise is a promise, as you say, so I don't mind repeating it again. My coming to Baba was because of his having called me. What has happened is this, that my mother's side, means that my mother belonged to Ahmednagar, this place here. She used to live here from her childhood days till she got married. She was here in Ahmednagar. And when she got married, naturally, she had to go to Calcutta with her husband, that is my father. And she lived there for a year or so. And then she had to come to Bombay for her delivery. She delivered me in Bombay. And after that, we went back to Calcutta. For a couple of years, we were there, and my father was the manager in one of the distilleries in Calcutta. He was not happy with his job, so he applied for another job in a different state, that is, in the state of Central Provinces and Birar of the time, at the time of the Britishers, for a job. And, well, it is said that he was the first Indian to be selected on that post, for that post. He became later on the Chief Inspector of Boilers and Factories, which was supposed to be the post for the Britisher. So that's how we came to Nagpur. His headquarters were in Nagpur. So we stayed there. As a child, I grew up there. In the beginning, you see, my father had to do a lot of touring all over the province. So, and he was very well paid. And not only paid his fares, but he was given allowances and fares for having his wife by his side and a camp clerk. And to attendants, and for the child, and all that. So, we used to travel a lot. But when I grew up, a certain age now, my father thought that it was best that he should be put into school. So I was put as a boarder in Nasik. So, in Nasik, I was there as a boarder for 2 years. In the 20s. From Nasik, my father and mother both didn't like it. To be in Nasik, that the child should linger there, you see, as a boarder.
So then they had me back in Nagpur. And for a year, you see, they went on touring again. So they kept a private tutor who traveled with me, with us all the time, teaching me. Well, I was brought up that way. And in the meantime, of course, I had two sisters. And we were a very happy family. And we started now. In the meantime, my father, of course, purchased an estate there in Nagpur. And we had a very good place to live. Wonderful time. Very loving parents, loving sisters. Good friends, good society. Good climate of the place. 121 degrees in summer. Very nice. But I liked it. It's a place well renowned, you say, in India. A place for tangerines. Summer we have plenty of tangerines. So everything was happy and perfect there. I used to go to school. My father put me in a Roman Catholic school there. In the meantime, in 1925, I think, during the Christmas vacation, this is the period, of course, now we get our vacation. We used to get during the time of the British Raj, you know, Christmas and summer vacations were the longest of the two. So my mother brought us here, you know, to Ahmednagar. In the meantime, when Baba had come first to Mehrabad, it seems that my two uncles, my mother's brothers, were in the habit of going out for long walks, and they had come in contact of Mir Baba, you see, in Arangam, when Baba had settled at the Dhuni place there. So during their long walks, in one morning, they went towards Arangam village, and from a distance they spotted Baba there. They were drawn to Baba. They didn't know why, just as all of you all have now testified to the fact, they don't know why they are going there. It's just the same whether it be Americans or Indians. We know no reason why we are drawn, they said. And one of them went straight and embraced him. And before doing that, he nudged his other brother and says, look, does he not appear to be like the rest? Has he come again? And he goes straight and embraces him.
Which uncles?
Homi Mama and Naswan Mama were both. So, Dhan's father and Naswan. So then it so happened that naturally the news spread in the family. My mother was informed about it, that they have come in contact of somebody great, you know. And she would love to visit him when she came. So come, when you have your vacation, do come here. So my mother brought us here during our Xmas vacation. It's about 550 miles from here, Nagpur. So we came, and one day it was decided that the whole family should go there to pay respects to Baba. We were kids, we didn't know who Baba is and what's the perfect master or what's all this, nothing. At least I didn't know anything about it. Not that I know now, but at the time I was absolutely ignorant. Well, those were the days when we had to sit in buggies and go. There were not cars over here. Motor cars were not there. Roads were also very dusty and dirt roads. But the climate of Ahmednagar at the time was just as it is now. It had good rainfalls and everything perfect as it is now. The first time we have had after many years this monsoon. It was all green and everything was perfect. Ahmednagar climate, of course. In the winter, I still remember we used to have braziers burning at home. Do you all have this now?
Like fireplaces?
Yeah. But no. These houses had no fireplaces, so we had braziers, you know. Portable things burning there.
No, we don't.
And put it central in the drawing room or in big room there, and it heats the whole place, you see. So we as children used to enjoy our visit here to our mother's place. They looked after us very well, fed us very well. And what do children want, you see? Good food, good play. So that was the highlight of her visit here, not Meher Baba. But then my mother and uncles decided that the children should be taken to Baba for the first time. So it was first time sometime in December, I think, in 1925. When, as I said, when we had to go in buggies, those were the days of buggies, horse carriages. So family, big tribe, uncles and uncles' children and aunts' children, all sorts of things, big family. So all the children, all the family, two buggies, they overcrowded the buggies and they went. So on their route, you see, when they just approached the Dhuni, where Dhuni is now, from a distance my mother was shown, there the one who is sitting there is Meher Baba. So the first thought that she had was that the buggy was overcrowded, it was a burden on the horse, especially in which she was seated. So what would Baba think about it? So she couldn't think of any other burden except her own son. And so she shouted, said, "Ere, jump, jump." I didn't know why she said so, but unfortunately I had no place in the buggy, because I used to occupy a lot of place. And I was rather well-built, you see, sturdy, even as a child. So my place was the football. Called the football. So when my mother shouted that, without giving a single thought, I jumped, you see, in that running buggy. Horses were very powerful, horses were very. As I jumped, like a fool, just in the opposite direction of the momentum, I just went straight, sprawling. And I created a big wound on my elbow here. It started bleeding. So in the meantime, the carriage went and stopped in front of Baba and all got down. And they had Baba's darshan. And I stood up, you see, with all the bleeding elbow here. This is the one. So I went there, naturally I had to go there. I didn't know what was happening there, you see. Why had we come over here? I didn't know myself. So, and there I see a man seated there, you see, on the ground there. And there's no picture over here of early days of Baba. So he was seated there, and then he looked at me and he called me. He says, "What have you done?" It was all in silence because I don't recall hearing him. But I recall one thing, that there was a pile of slates on either side of his, on the left and on the right of where he was sitting. So he had just started writing on slate at the time, after observing silence. Baba observed silence on 10th July 1925, and he started writing on the slate soon after that. So the piles were there on either side of him. So I was there, and he just asked me what happened. Somebody said, well, he had a fall. So Baba made me sit on his lap, and then he took a handful of ash from the dhuni, dabbed it on the wound, and tied it with the handkerchief that he had here. I still remember he had his handkerchief here. It was a comfortable seat there on his lap, and he patted me and comforted me and all that. I recall that. So my first visit to Baba was with a fall. I had fallen, and he gave me a helping hand and comforted me. And I thought that, well, here's some kind person, very loving. That's my recollection of his first meeting, my meeting first.
Then you went back to Nagpur.
So then what happened is, after this, naturally, we went back home. I had no thought, who is he? Some good, kindly person is there. So then I used to play with my friends and my cousins and all that. It was a big place here. Nice place. So our vacation was over. We had to go back to Nagpur. We went back to Nagpur. It was all... Of course, again, we got back to our friends there in Nagpur, and myself started enjoying my life there in Nagpur. And you attend school and all that. the school that I attended, those were the days when we had good schools only of the missionaries, British time. Missionary schools were there. The local schools, the municipal schools were vernaculars, where vernacular language was taught, nothing more than that. But the best schools were the schools of the missionaries. I was admitted there. And it was a Roman Catholic school, so what I had to do was, during the classes when they used to have their scriptures and old and New Testament taught and all that, we had to keep ourselves in the background and sit there, keep quiet and not allow, not to have any disturbance. And we were considered to be heathens. Non-Catholics were heathens at the time. It went on for some years. In the meantime, on his own, Baba would come to our place, our house there in Nagpur, and he would be with us. He'd come and then he'd ask about me, and he would stand near the approach road at the gate, wanting me to return from school. And on a couple of first days, he tries to get caught, you see. And he would be waiting there, and as soon as I returned from school, he would take me inside. And then I had to spend the whole evening with him, playing. And somehow or other, I found it difficult to play with him, because he was 22 years older than I was. How is it possible for me to play with such an elderly person? You know? So, well, whatever it is, he used to be there at the gate expecting me to return from school. And I used to somehow or other feel very uncomfortable when I used to see him. There again he has come. He'll spoil my evening game. So then what I would do is to evade him. So whenever I used to come and cycle from a distance, I used to have a good look at the main gate. If I spotted him, then I used to just take a turn, you see, and enter my house, which is a big place, through the back door, you know, the wicket gate. That's how I would go in. Then wash and then change and then go back to play. School playgrounds with our children, football, hockey and all these things, with other friends. Then again my mother would inquire in the evening as to why was I absent, why didn't I come from school. I said, I had been here. She said, hey, you never appeared. I said, yes, I did. I had a bath, a change, and went back. She said, hey. Then my mother would scold and say that, well, it's no good you're doing like that. You don't realize how blessed you are. He was waiting for you for long. And you didn't care even to wish him and all in your return. So that's how years passed by. He would come every now and then, you see. When he would come, I would just try to avoid him. Now, in school, what happened when I was in school and when we were not treated properly, you see, and when we were despised as heathens, so to say, in the Roman Catholic school. Although the teachers, the friends, the fathers and the brothers, you see, who taught us lessons, they were very kind people. They were very good. But somehow or other, there was the difference that was created. They are not of our tribe. Yeah. So somehow or other, it was not a happy thing. And worst thing was that when we were made to sit behind the other boys, you see, means at the back of the class, it was not a happy thing for us. We never felt it happy that way. And moreover, we had to sit quietly, not to create any noise or disturbance or anything. But being children naturally, we were very fidgety. And we had to poke somebody, throw do something to a mischief. So that's how we played mischief. And the real culprit was not caught. And somehow or other, I used to get caught with my big figure, you see. So I used to unnecessarily be punished and all that. So one day it drove me mad. When father used to punish me, and there was caning at the time. It was not just tampering as we have nowadays. Nothing doing. Caning. And when the teacher got lost his head, you know, we had those canes, you know, with the handle on. So the usual way of caning was just show your palm, both palms, one after the other, sharp. But then, when he used to get very upset and wild, he would turn the cane, and we used to get the mark, you see, with the handle on. The whole palm would be full of mark. So that day, it was that punishment for me, because I was rather very rude and all that. Then I couldn't contain myself. I said, now something must be done, and this must be brought to the notice of the principal. So I collected a band of boys, the heathens. I said, come on, we must go now, we must give a piece of our mind. Let them know as to how we feel about this whole thing. So I still remember the father, the principal, was a very kindly person, you know. His name was Father Gross. He was a French father. See, when I went there, of course I was all excited and couldn't speak properly and all that. He says, oh, calm down, Erich, what's the matter with you today? My father being an engineer, they had also technological department there. So my father was very helpful to that department there. So he knew us. He knew me very well because of my father. He says, what's the matter? Why are you so upset? And what are all these boys doing? I said, well, we have a complaint. We want something. We want to have something for our sake. What is it? We have been treated as heathens and we are despised. And I said everything that I had in my head. Just vomited out all that venom of years together. He says, well, what do you want actually? He said, all what we want is either to be treated alike, you see, like the Catholics, permitted to sit with them, you see, for the classes in scriptures, or we should be permitted to go out of the class and play. Why this punishment to sit at the back of the class there and keep quiet or revise a lesson? No, but he said that you revise, you get good time to revise. But then what do we do with revision of the, I said. Because these people, the Catholics, you see, they have two extra papers and they earn more marks there with the two extra papers. Each paper was 100 marks. And we were deprived of sitting in the examination. So even our revisions don't help us to be in level with them. Because our ranks would fall. Because we were deprived of 200 marks. We'll think about it. We'll have the committee to decide about it. So we left. The next day he called us and he came to each of the classes and he declared that even the non-Catholics were either permitted, if they wanted to sit with the other boys, you see, for the classes, they can, or they can go out and play. So we had our day. Now because I had headed this delegation, you see, I had to take the course. So, well, I had to decide immediately. So I decided in favor of attending the classes. So that's how I learned, you see, somewhat of the Old Testament and the New Testament and all this stuff. Now, it was a very good thing. I liked it. The subject was very interesting. Life of Jesus and all that. So it helped me, and it helped my marks and examination results were helpful. So as I grew older, it so happened that I used to put some questions to my preceptors. I used to ask them, Father, what's the meaning of this? So you would answer, Father, what does it mean by this? And all that. He would answer very lovingly. And well, I scored good marks, and I must say that I even stood first in the subject. And the father was very happy that, well, a non-Catholic is taking keen interest in all this. And most of the fathers, you see, this news went round and fathers were very happy about it and they started loving me all the more or expressing their love more. thinking that I was a potential Catholic or something. They don't care. So and I did like it. I like the way they led their lives, they were kind and genial and loving and all that. They were helpful to society and all that. It was what was important. It's good. So, but as years passed by, a couple of years passed by, you see, I was disappointed because whenever there were certain queries, you know, and I stood up to ask, they said, sit down, it's a mystery, sit down.